We've read from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Let us pray as we begin the sermon. Come, Holy Spirit, our helper and our advocate. Open our hearts and minds this day. Entice us with your presence. Spark us with a word of life, a message that we may share with others as we seek to live Christ's love in the world. All this we ask in the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. During this time when many of us have had more time on our hands, what have you done with your extra time? One of the things that I've done is take some time to Google and gather some resources about some things I've wanted to dig deeper into, but I've never found the time. There was college classes, or there were seminary classes, or there were kids to take to different activities, and so there was always an excuse not to take the time to dig into some of these things, but that excuse has been taken away. So I dug into a book that I've had for some time, and I just haven't finished it, but the book is The Pilgrim's Progress. It's a book that was written back in 1678, and it's an allegory of our journey of faith. The main character in the first part of the book is Christian, and in the first part of the book, it's about his journey from his home in the City of Destruction to the celestial city on Mount Zion. It's from being sinful and selfish to living life as one of God's followers. Now, the main character, Christian, keeps looking for the path that leads to the celestial city. At times, he is shown the way, and the path is easy to find. But at other times, the path is hard to find, and others tempt him to take a shortcut that ends up being anything but a shortcut. The passage we read today takes place a couple of decades after last week's passage. Last week's passage introduced us to a man named Saul that ends up persecuting those who became Christ followers and tried to stop the work of the church. Later, Saul has an encounter with Jesus. Saul has learned from those who were further along on their faith journey. He was discipled by these. He learned to do life with other believers. He prayed with other believers. He learned to be generous with his life and all he had. And over time, Saul has his name changed and becomes Paul and begins to teach others about Jesus. He's helping others find the path to the celestial city. This takes place on Paul's second missionary journey. Paul has gone to Athens and is waiting for Silas and Timothy to meet up with him. But while in Athens, Paul finds that they have temples and altars dedicated to many gods. Athenians were seen as a very religious people, and Paul spoke in the synagogue trying to convince Jews and those who had converted to the Jewish faith about the truth of Jesus. Paul spoke in the open, trying to point others to the right path. He debated some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, and they brought Paul before the High Council, a sort of a thought police, to be heard. Paul speaks to this group differently than he did most that he spoke to. Most of the time, Paul would just unpack the story of the Jewish people and how it pointed towards the coming of Jesus' life, of Jesus' death, and his resurrection. But he takes a different way with the Athenians. Within the city of Athens, Paul had come across an altar with an inscription to an unknown god. Some scholars believe it was an altar that had been restored, but the original deity it was dedicated to was forgotten, so the altar was inscribed to an unknown deity, kind of a nudge-nudge, but you know who you are, unknown god. Other scholars believe that the Athenians were trying to cover their bases in case there was some other deity out there that had power that they were unaware of. They didn't want to miss out on any blessings, and they sure didn't want any curses. But this altar, this place for them to acknowledge an unknown God opened a way for Paul to talk to the Athenians at the Areopagus about Jesus. Paul is trying to help others find the path to the celestial city, and he points out that the idols they worship are useless. Any God that needs to be served by human hands is not a God at all. Worshiping these idols robbed people of life. These idols took more from their worshipers than they could ever give back. Through the mercy and the grace God has given us, the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life, we are given more than we could ever give back to God. God does not need our service, but we serve God out of honor for all that He has done for us, out of love for all that He has done for us, and we too are trying to point others to the path to the celestial city, or the life with God. Paul tells the Athenians that not only is this God the only true God, but this God can be found and known. Paul tells them that we are all His children, not made in the way their gods make children, but created in His image. We bear the image of God that cannot be erased from us, and it cannot be removed from us. Hear this today. There is nothing you've done, and there is nothing you could ever do that will remove God's image from you. God wants you to find life in Him, to travel the path to the celestial city, as well as help others find the path to Him. Some that heard Paul that day wrote him off as a crazy person. In their belief system, resurrection was an impossibility. But others wanted to know more, and some of them found the path. I'm not sure any of us worships a gold or silver or stone or even a wooden idol, but we may worship at the feet of some modern idols that take just as much from us as the idols took from the Athenians. Money, nice things, careers, appearances, hobbies, a significant other, children, family or friends. Nothing is wrong with any of these things. In fact, at times they can be very good things, but there may come a point when they begin to take more from us than they can give. When what we have to invest in our retirement, or in our career, or our hobbies, or in a relationship creates fear and stress and anxiety, it has become an idol. God can use each one of these things to draw us closer to each other and closer to Him, but these things can draw us away from God. Just like in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, there is always a temptation to follow another path. But no matter how many times a Christian left the path, was tempted to take a shortcut, there is always someone there to point him back to the right path. No matter how many times we leave God's path, there is always someone pointing us back, and God is always waiting for us to come back. Let us pray. We are never alone, because, Father God, You are always with us. You are the living and the loving God. You promise to walk with us, encouraging our faith. You promise to send us Your Holy Spirit as a companion, keeping us on Your path of truth. You promise to live in us, abiding in us forever. After a season of resurrection, we are now ready to live into Your promises. Let our lives more fully entwine with Your life. Enfold our very being into Your never-ending, never-failing love as You continue to call us along Your pathway. Amen.